with the red appointed as the color for an installation, symbolizing, as these vestments do, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's fire. I get to use my introduction from the end of the book of Revelation today. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever wishes, let him come. Let him take the free gift of the water of life. In Christ's name, the text for our meditation and growth in God's grace and guidance is the gospel for today, Matthew chapter 10, with special reference to Jeremiah. But before I get to that, let me please explain here the sermon title. I feel I must, because it's confusing, I know already. Before today, I had a number of conversations with our staff as they prepared our media, and I'll use Mike Trampy as an example. We had to communicate a couple of times before he caught what I was doing here. Those first two words, peace, peace, are a quotation, not from any of our scriptures today, but elsewhere in Jeremiah. A couple of times in Jeremiah, and I found also in Ezekiel two times, that phrase is used in a pejorative, reproving way by God speaking through the prophet. People were going around saying, peace, 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 peace. And just to use one in Jeremiah chapter 6, God says, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And maybe you can already get the point. It's enacted here in a real scene from Jeremiah chapter 28 that you heard. Falsely, in the name of God, people were telling the residents of Judah, everything will be okay. If you were with us, or maybe in another church last week, perhaps you heard. We had Jeremiah last week. As I set the stage, they were being besieged by the power Babylon. Jerusalem surrounded about 600 years before Jesus was born. And they were looking for all kinds of solutions not ordained by God. Jeremiah preached, repent. Turn to God. But they were looking at other gods or to other political powers like Egypt. And even when Babylon brought in their bulldozers, so to speak, leveled the temple, destroyed Jerusalem's walls, that same false message was proclaimed. Jeremiah 28 starts in the reign of Zedekiah. Indeed, he was the last king. Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke in the house of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. 2 years at the most, peace will come. Jeremiah says, fine. You heard the reading. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, it'll be known that the Lord has truly sent this prophet. But Hananiah's words did not come true within 2 years. It took 70 years. His message of peace, peace, everything will be okay, was a problem for a couple of reasons. First, for the faithless people who were not turning to God. They were avoiding the real issue. Jeremiah was proclaiming their relationship with God. Repent. And for the faithful people, we do know there was a remnant of faithful people in Jerusalem, some of whom went to Babylon, like Daniel and his three friends and others. The message was endure. There's problems to come. And those two messages, we need to emphasize today on the basis of God's word, but also as the official start of our time together in an intentional interim. We have the warning of Jesus updated for us in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 10. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. There's problems. First of all, our proclamation had better be for every person. Repent. We are not addressing the real issue if we are not addressing sin. So many times we gloss over it, thinking there are personality issues or program inadequacies. The problem in every person here is sin. And you'll hear that theme in this pastor's time with you. With the power of the Holy Spirit, look first at yourself. And I need to do it too. And repent of sin, because the problem is far greater than just the survival of a congregation or dealing with your finances or a health issue you may be facing or some relationship that is coming apart here on earth. It's your relationship with God that is crucial. And like the people of Judah, we have turned to other gods. Things have become more important than Him. And we have focused on other resources and praying to Him. And I've done it too, maybe most of all. And the other problem we face too, for the faithful who today again are repenting and receiving His grace and forgiveness and assurance of His presence, there needs to be patience. When you join us for lunch today, I show again the video on intentional interim ministry that we showed in some family meetings I had going at our last breakfast. And in there is quoted the next chapter of Jeremiah, a famous verse people quote a lot these days, Jeremiah chapter 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I believe that promise of God. But it needs to be read in context, and I emphasize that. That section began, thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Perhaps many of the people hearing that promise did not see it fulfilled in their life while they were in Babylon. Maybe the next generations. And God's promise, real promise, extends even greater than that. We need to realize all through this life, it's a time of transition. It's an interim as we await the fulfillment of God's promises to us. And indeed, they're here for you today. We do hear and must hear the warnings of Jesus. Matthew 10 especially focuses on opposition. He emphasizes within our own families. If you're a believer in Christ, you'll find this. Father and son, mother and daughter, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law are the three Jesus emphasizes. And in the family of faith, we'll find it too. There'll be struggles amongst us. But the promises of God are here. Not just for the survival or rejuvenation even of St. Paul Lutheran Church. Much bigger than that, dear friend. More than you can expect or imagine. And in ways that are opposite many times from what you expect. Jesus did promise the night before he died, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." But he emphasized, "Not as the world gives." The answers for each individual here with the problems you may be facing and the challenges, the answer for this congregation and every, are not of this world. It's not in a new pastor, this one or the next. It's not in programs or policies. It's in a peace that the world cannot give. We have three pastors' families here today, and that's wonderful to see, an important part of an installation. Although they're not installed, they have a special ministry supporting the man of God in their midst, and we thank our families for that so much. But I'm going to use the occasion to tell a story about one person here. My daughter, Hannah, is here, I think, for the second time, maybe third. And she's heard this story told publicly before. Early on in her life, she tried to go her own way when she learned to crawl. She learned backwards. I don't know if any of you parents have seen this with your children, but Hannah first started to crawl by scooching backwards instead of frontwards. She couldn't go front ways. And the story I tell is one day sitting at the kitchen table, I watched her in the living room scooch herself backwards into a corner among some potted plants and other furniture, and she couldn't escape. Tried to cry a bit. Before she could even cry, I was up to get her and free her. And I use that as a metaphor for so many things. We don't even know the corners into which we are backing ourselves at times, but God is always watching, our dear Heavenly Father. And he has the way, exactly the opposite that we may think. In the midst of trials and temptations, in the midst of persecutions and problems, there is his peace. It is implied, I think, in Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus emphasizes, whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will save it. What a paradox that is. And I'll come back to that, but I want to share with you today other key verses about how God's peace comes to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You really need to know the previous chapters of Romans, Paul has emphasized how we are justified right with God. Chapter 3, a man is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. You don't do it at all, zero. You trust God's done it all, and he has. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace. And notice the tense there. This happens all through Scripture. We have peace with God. It's not something off in the future for you individually or for this congregation. We got it now. It's the last word every Sunday in our worship, unless we, like today, have a closing hymn. Give you peace. And it happens because you are justified, declared righteous before God. You could substitute forgiven by him. And that's not worldly. That happens in God's courtroom. In a way you and I can't even fathom. You may know the familiar words used in Lutheran liturgies from Philippians 4, verse 7. The peace of God passes all understanding. It'll keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But in Christ Jesus is the key word there. It's because of him. We begin our official year together, and we continue, and we will conclude and go on for eternity with a peace beyond all understanding because of Jesus and him. Amazingly, by the Spirit, we can grasp. If you just look at the verses describing his work amongst us, he was predicted in Isaiah chapter 9. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called what? You know this from Handel's Messiah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end. We have his peace in that prediction. And when he came in the flesh, God in a manger, what did the angels sing? Glory to God in the highest and peace among men with whom God is pleased. I know the King James or others say and peace to men on earth. It's God's peace here granted because he accepts, he forgives, he loves, he even likes you around because of Jesus. And Jesus accomplished that work through his 30 years walking the earth until he paid for that peace on the cross and then risen from the dead. We heard it in one of the installation verses today a number of times, three for sure, maybe four. He said to his disciples, "Peace be with you. I'm risen from the dead. I've solved the problem between you and God. I am with you always till the end of the age." And here in Matthew 10, he does emphasize that peace. It's the basis, I think, for what he says. Though he's not bringing worldly peace, in fact, friction and problems as you follow him, he does promise, whoever receives you receives me. The one who receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. The one who receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, he will by no means lose his reward. As you live one with each other, serving others, maybe in small ways, just showing up on Sunday mornings and filling the parking lot, maybe giving a hug in the hallway. Definitely sharing Jesus at work or at school or in the neighborhood, praying with someone sometime. you live out your reward, the peace. I leave you with two promises for this peace that say that better than I. One Old Testament, one New. Isaiah chapter 26, a prayer to God. God, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We're not depending on ourselves, but on our saving God. Perfect peace. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 16. Paul assures the people, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace at all times and in every way. Wow. So I will use Philippians chapter 4 as a closing today, even though it's not part of this liturgy, as a guarantee the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.